I'm Frank Vaughn. It's June 30th, 2025, and some days there's just so much to talk about that I don't even know where to begin. Almost all that brings some kind of ironic smile to my face. Stay tuned right to the end if you actually care about the progress of this channel, because I have an update on a number of fronts, but let's begin with the news. The headline from CBC is demand for elbows up merchandise dips ahead of Canada Day. Businesses say, some note the political climate has changed since anti-Trump phrase first took off. Yeah, it's changed a lot. Mark Carney's been bending over. It's elbows down in the sand rather than elbows up since he got in office. And it's amazing watching liberal supporters contort themselves into pretzel knots tighter than the Gordian knot itself, justifying everything that the Liberal Party is doing. If it was Pierre Poilievre doing the same things, their reaction would be completely different. Now, I want to talk about a tale of two front pages. I saved this front page from last night. Canada rescinds digital services tax to advance trade discussions with the U.S. Now, there's a lot in a sentence there. First off, this was Canada's attempt to protect journalism. So not only are we subsidizing so-called journalism with our tax dollars directly, funding, as I noted in the last video, the Toronto Star alone gets $115,000 a week from the taxpayer. That's one organization. There are all kinds of mainstream media organizations that are being subsidized by the state, by the taxpayer. The digital services tax was an attempt to help pay for that subsidy by charging social media companies for operations here in Canada. And remember, in a previous video, I talked about how Google, to gain an exemption from this tax, kicked out $100 million to the Canadian government directly to help fund the mainstream media. Now, all of that has gone away because supposedly in the era of post-integration with the United States, which Mark Carney promised, he said that we are no longer integrating with them, we're going to go our separate ways. Something else to keep in mind, I guess I'm a bit all over the place here, is that this idea of bringing Canada closer to the EU, even though it's geographically impossible, is not a new idea. We've been pursuing this for 10 years. It has netted 3% trade growth. Overall, their share of our trade has grown by 3%. There's only so far we can go with the EU. We need the United States, which is why I've been telling you this entire time that Carney's been lying, that integrating with the United States and further integration with the United States is done. It can't be done. It's impossible. But anyway, back to this. We were going to do the digital services tax, and we rescinded it because the Americans walked away from the table and said they would no longer negotiate on trade. Now, I said this was, so I just, I'll do this first. This is the actual legislation, the Digital Services Tax Act, received royal assent on June 20th, 2024, and came into effect on June 28th, 2024. So this is one of those moments where I need to remind everybody that your government is not Parliament, because Parliament passed this. This is the law now. But arbitrarily, Cabinet, which is government, the Prime Minister, which is government, the Governor General, which is government, and yes, the King himself, which is government, is arbitrarily deciding that it's not going to apply. They haven't gone back to Parliament and officially rescinded the act. They're just arbitrarily deciding not to apply it. That means, can you understand what this means? Should I give you a second to think about it? A lot of you are going to get it. Government by fiat. The government, the cabinet, the prime minister decide what laws apply and what laws don't apply. And that is the nature of Canada. But back to the tale of two front pages. So very briefly, you can see it says 1 hour ago. I kept this page open sometime yesterday afternoon. I didn't really keep track when I first opened it, but it was, I'm going to say it was after 3 o'clock. It was from 3 o'clock onwards. This was the front page, and this article was posted 1 hour ago. So late in the day on Sunday, this was the big splashy headline. But as of this morning, this is what we got. Amid Manitoba's devastating wildfire season, replanting aims to restore forests and fight climate change. Now, climate change is not responsible for the recent forest fires, period. Forests are always trying to burn. If you don't remove the fuel, which is the dry lower branches and the fuel on the forest floor, and it gets dry and humans come along, which is predominantly what happens. The biggest fire here in Saskatchewan was arson. Humans come along, and with just a lighter, they can set hundreds of thousands of acres on fire. This is the nature of forest. It has nothing to do with climate change. But back to the main point. This is the leading headline on Monday morning in a brand new news cycle. And this headline is long forgotten. Now, you're going to say, if you scroll down a little bit, there it is. That's not the point. That's the biggest story. Mark Carney and his government, which is cabinet, not parliament, surrendering and suspending a law just to sit at the table with Donald Trump. With an eye to fairness, I just hit refresh, and it seems some editor at CBC thought that was a little bit too obvious, because once again, it is the top story, as it should be. But another couple things that come to mind, and by the way, notice how they're not telling you that Canada rescinds digital services tax. Parliament's not sitting. The Senate is not sitting. This was done by the government, which is not Parliament. This is a really important point. I feel like I repeat it a lot, but I'm going to keep repeating it anyway because I don't think most of Canada gets it. Federal by-election called for August 18th in Alberta's Battle River Crowfoot riding. So Carney actually kept his word on one thing, and that is getting an election going so that Pierre Poilievre can get back into the House. And, you know, it's complicated because part of the reason Poilievre is running in Alberta is not just that it is the strongest, safest place to run, considering all the shenanigans, and I talked about all kinds of shenanigans, the jerry-rigging, the gerrymandering, the targeting of Pierre Poilievre twice by a so-called nonpartisan organization that seeks to blow up the ballot with 200 different candidates and just make a big gong show out of it. There's a lot of disadvantages for being a federal conservative. The media hated him, the unions hated him, and other conservatives in Canada hated him, so-called conservatives, fake conservatives. Which one am I talking about? This one, Ford won't rule out running to lead federal conservatives. Can you imagine the nightmare of having that man as prime minister? We're going to talk briefly about one of the things that's happened in Ontario under his watch, and I'll probably just go off about a bunch of other things too, because that's my nature. He's basically ruined Ontario. If you had have elected, and this is one of the things, I get a lot of pushback whenever I say this, but I never get somebody show me any evidence to the contrary. If you had have elected Kathleen Wynne in 2018, Ontario wouldn't be any different today than it is right now. Doug Ford wasn't better. He was exactly more of the same. Red with a coat of blue. I do not believe there's a snowball's chance in hell that this man would ever get elected to lead the federal conservatives. But then again, this country's been disappointing me for a long time, so it could very well happen. If you give me a choice between him and Pierre Poilievre, I'm going Pierre all day. But on the flip side of this, Pierre Poilievre will be leader of the Conservative Party of Canada, and he'll be in Alberta, and his mission is as a federalist. With sentiment rising in Alberta, never being higher for separation, in spite of the spin that came out of the election result where Buddy got 18%, and they look at that as a sovereignist defeat, when really it's just people not wanting to change the channel on Daniel Smith and the UCP. They want to see where it goes, and I agree. I think they need to see exactly where Daniel Smith's going to take things. But Pierre is there to nip in the bud a sovereignist movement. So, you know, I said in the lead up to the election that I would support the Conservative Party of Canada, and I did. I voted for their candidates because it was a pragmatic vote, but it wasn't my real passion. It wasn't my direction. My direction is still the provinces. Whether Poilievre is prime minister or Carney is prime minister, my project, my feeling is autonomy for the provinces is the future. At least it's the future out here. The rest of the provinces don't seem to give a rat's tail about any of it. But Saskatchewan and Alberta are at least whispering in the right direction. And as I've highlighted, Bill C-5 is a threat to provincial autonomy. Bill C-5, which the Conservative Party was more than happy to support with their own spin. But at the end of the day, the spin is just spin. They supported a bill that robs the provinces and doesn't actually... What the Conservative Party said is that it puts the focus on the Carney government. If they don't actually build the projects, it'll be a we gotcha kind of moment. That's not how it's going to work. That's just... It's really terrible thinking, especially in light of what happened in the last election. But let's go back to Ford for a minute and talk about Ontario. Let's listen to Sonia Ramgaben. We could have picked 1,000 channels. Probably not 1,000 channels. We could have probably picked another dozen channels with much bigger followings, but we're going with Sonia because specifically she's only got 723 subscribers.
Hey, everyone. We've got to help with the small people. If you've been paying attention to the housing market lately, you've probably noticed that things have really slowed down here in the GTA. A lot of homes are continuing to sit on the market, and buyers are still holding back. But it's not just resale homes that are feeling this type of slowdown. New build home sales have also taken a huge hit. In fact, according to stats, new build sales have dropped to historic lows for the 8th month in a row. And apparently, we haven't seen numbers like this since the early 90s.
So, the pain hasn't even started yet. The pain starts when people who are holding mortgages that they got at far too high a price, they over-leveraged themselves, when they start taking losses, when they start selling at a loss just to get out, that's when the pain actually starts. Because what we've got right now is prices remain high, rent remains through the roof, but inventory is not moving. So people can't afford to get out at lower prices. They're trapped, but there's no buyers to get them out at the price that they want. And vacancies are continuing. This is Doug Ford's Ontario. We have 500,000 to 1 million people, depending on how you want to count it, coming into this country every single year. And these people can't get homes built. And they can't sell homes, even with 250,000 of those people landing in the GTA. So she mentioned the 1990s, historic lows not seen since the 1990s. Well, what else happened in the early 1990s? There's a term called stagflation. That's where prices continue to rise, but wages don't keep up. So you have inflation at the same time as you have economic contraction. That's what Canada is heading into. Now, the other thing to keep in mind about the early 1990s, even though the Bank of Canada has been cutting interest rates in the 1990s were a lot more painful than they are today. Right now, you can still get single-digit percent interest rates on your new mortgages or your mortgage renewals, and they're lower. They're on the lower end. But in the early 1990s, I can remember my dad signing a mortgage in 1993 for 12.75%. Can you imagine the destruction if interest rates have to start climbing because you have too much inflation at the same time as you have stagnant or diminishing real wage growth? What that means is basically, if the government continues to print money, everything becomes more expensive. But if the real economy isn't generating value, it can't keep up. And thus, people fall into debt, people fall into poverty, people lose their homes, you got people throwing their keys at banks and symbolic protests, as has happened in this country before. That's the kind of pain. Now, Doug Ford, this is his Ontario. It's not all his fault because we have a larger Canadian economy that's ran by the Liberals and the NDP. But Doug Ford supported the Liberals and the NDP in the last election. Now, you might say he didn't come right out and endorse them. He didn't campaign for Pierre. He didn't meet with Pierre. He didn't even do a joint press conference with Poilievre and the Conservative Party of Canada. But he did post a bunch of pictures hugging and kissing Mark Carney. Not literally kissing him, but definitely hugging him. Actually, let me be accurate. Because he didn't post the pictures hugging Mark Carney. Those pictures weren't made public. But you can see that he's going in for a hug in some of the pictures that they posted because they thought, I guess, a hug would be too much. Laughing and shaking hands and having a good time. Doug Ford has added $150 billion to the Ontario provincial debt. Doug Ford campaigned in 2018 on all kinds of promises that he has broken. And you think, and it wouldn't surprise me again, this country, the people of this country of all political backgrounds, it wouldn't surprise me if somehow under a leadership election that somehow Pierre doesn't pass. I think he will. And maybe this is a 4 or 5 years down the road type thing. But imagine giving Ford the keys to the Conservative Party of Canada based solely on the fact that he managed to win an election just a few months back. Because I think that's all it is. He's seen as a widely popular premier, not as what he is, which is, at least to a lot of people in Ontario, the best of a lot of bad choices. Even though he's not really the best of a lot of bad choices, people are in some serious denial about how terrible the political system is in Ontario. Their choices suck. And even though they have upstarts like, New Blue and the Ontario Party, people aren't moving over to those new parties. They're united behind this leader that no one likes. In other news directly related to the dire political situation facing this country, we have the federal NDP, and my understanding is sometime today we should get to officially find out how broke they are. Their filings are due with Elections Canada, and they should tell the tale of how Jagmeet Singh has completely broken the back of this once great party. And I say that with respect, but I also say that with the reservation that I didn't necessarily agree with their policies, but they once were a great party. The official opposition completely broke the back of the Liberal Party. Jack Layton led them. And what we're going to look at here is actually part of the foundation of that that led to the eventual 2011. So in 2011, Stephen Harper got his majority and the NDP became official opposition. Then the Liberals were. And this is not that long ago when you think about it. Here we are in 2025. It's only 14 years. And now the Liberals seem unbeatable. They've been sent to the wilderness only recently, and for some reason they're back, even though they've done such a horrible job. But speaking of horrible jobs, Quebec's voice and a choice for a different Canada, federalism, social democracy, and the Quebec question. This was 2005, and this is one of those things that led the NDP to become the opposition party, the official opposition. So this is their butt-kissing when it comes to Quebec. Now, I just want to focus on asymmetrical federalism. So what does asymmetry mean? Having parts that fail to correspond to one another in shape, size, or arrangement, lacking symmetry. So you can already see where this is going. The New Democratic Party believes that asymmetrical federalism is the best way to consolidate the Canadian federal state with the reality of Quebec's national character. I don't believe that asymmetry and consolidation of a federal state go together, but let's just leave that for now. That means that Quebec has to have specific powers and room for maneuvering. Asymmetry is necessary if Quebec is to meet the challenges it faces, foremost among them the challenge of preserving the French fact in America. This is why the NDP supports mass immigration, I guess, but I don't want to go down that rabbit hole today. We believe that an egalitarian and cooperative society has to accommodate, not eliminate differences. Unity is not necessarily uniformity. Canadian diversity, which encompasses Aboriginals peoples, Quebec, and multicultural communities, is not a threat to Canada. On the contrary, it is part of the essence of Canada. This symmetry vis-a-vis Quebec can be applied, or this asymmetry vis-a-vis Quebec can be applied in real terms through the opting out with compensation. The right to opt out applies where the federal government on its own or with the agreement of the provinces intervenes in areas of exclusive provincial jurisdiction. In such a case, no conditions or standards should be applied to Quebec without its consent obtained after consultation and negotiation. The question that I have, considering, as is noted somewhere in this document, that Quebec never signed the Constitution, never signed on to Confederation. They're the only province that exists outside it. Why do our political parties just continue to contort themselves and bend over backwards to feed claptrap like this to Quebec? The answer is because it works electorally. If you want that MP's job, you want that cushy pension, you want your shot at sitting in the House, you got to kiss Quebec butt. But the fact is, Quebec doesn't deserve special treatment. They deserve the same treatment as every other member of this federation. And so, it is my argument that if Quebec gets to effectively enforce their autonomy on everyone else in this country, and they get to override federal jurisdiction, federal law, they get to do their own thing, every other province should be doing the exact same. We should be claiming the same rights, and we should be doing it loud and proud and not allowing Quebec, which shames everyone. Blanchet, one of the last things he said about Western separatism is they would have to prove their national character. If they don't prove it, they have no right to leave. What a hypocrite. Quebec's done very well for itself. They've presented a model to follow. Western Canada is very unique compared to Ontario. Believe me, I've lived in both places. The only difference between Quebec and Ontario is Quebecers speak French and enforce their own identity. And they don't even do that very well. They're swimming in the consequences of mass immigration too. They might have, and that's another thing about Quebec, they have more control over who comes into Quebec than any other province does. The federal government wouldn't dare think of shipping people who can't even speak English into small towns in Quebec, which is what they do in the rest of this country, completely shifting the demographics and creating all kinds of social cohesive issues. They wouldn't do it to Quebec, but luckily for the federal government, the Quebec government is starting to do it to itself. Shifting our attention to something that's a little bit more positive, this channel has been doing very well. We've almost doubled our audience on YouTube. We've more than doubled our audience on Twitter. It's been a bit slow lately, but everybody's experiencing the exact same thing. It's across the board. I think the election cycle and the news cycle was so intense for so many months that people are just checking out a little bit, and that's fine. You should. That's kind of what I did over the weekend. Not really, but kind of. I was in a reflective space. I wasn't really focused. I was thinking about the last 6 months. Not quite 6 months. It's actually been 5.5. But since January 17th, it was January 17th that I made up my mind that I was going to get more focused, and I was going to do this more determinedly. And I think that effort has paid off. There's certainly a lot of interest. There's certainly a lot of dedicated users. And I appreciate every single one of you and what we're building together. So I think if we look at this as kind of a contract renewal, my contract is getting renewed for another 6 months at the very least, probably all the way to the spring. And then I'll reassess it again. But I think things are going well. And I appreciate all of you who have supported it with likes and shares and donations. We're building something here. I'm not entirely sure the direction it's going to go in. I don't know where we're going to end up, but I feel like there's a need to just try and shoot straight. And if we get something wrong, to admit that we got it wrong and to do corrective things and just be humans on camera, not try to act superhuman and just try to do it right. And I think there's a need to focus more on the provinces, and I think there's a need. I've identified several needs over the weekend. I don't want to get into them all right now because I can't tackle everything. That's the other thing. I've only got so much time, and I'm going to get more focused with that time. But I think things are going well. The other thing that I want to announce is that I won't be attending the We Unify conference in Calgary in September. Something's come up. There's nothing I can do about it other than take care of it. And I won't be able to be there. It's still going to be awesome. I still might do an interview for them online or something, but I don't know. I haven't heard back since I indicated that it wasn't going to work. I haven't heard anything back. So who knows if people are angry with me or not, but there's nothing I can do about it. I'm not going to be able to be there for that one. Hopefully, things come together well enough that I can be at the Sask Party conference in November. That's one I really need to be at if I can physically do it. But all that being said, thanks so much for everything. I'm Frank Vaughn. I'll see you in the next one.